We're in the midst of a presidential campaign in our country, and suffice it to say, it's one of the most unusual campaigns that we've seen in our time. But I want to tell you this evening that presidential campaigning, the way it goes on now, is not the way it used to be. When William McKinley was elected president of the United States, first in 1896 and then in 1900, most people thought that it was not in good form for a presidential candidate to campaign openly for the office. So as a rule, they didn't travel around. William McKinley spent the summers of 1896 and 1900 on the front porch of his house in Canton, Ohio. And people would come by and gather in his yard, and he would speak to them about the issues of the day, but only in a very general manner. But whether then or now, the time would finally come when the speeches would be over and when the voters of the various states of the country would make their choices. Now, there are always some who say that they are undecided until that moment. But even those people, if they're going to cast a vote, must make a decision, and they have to make it by the end of the day set aside for that purpose. Some people vote in advance now by mail. Some people vote by going to a certain office and casting a vote in advance. But no votes that are cast after that day are going to be counted. It's the day for decision. In our text this evening, Joshua, as he was bidding farewell to the people of Israel, spoke of a far more important day for a decision. The people of Israel, for the previous 80 years, knew only two men as leaders. First was the man who grew up in the court of the Pharaoh in Egypt, and who then spent 40 years of his life as a shepherd in the wilderness of Sinai before God called him to be the leader of the people in their departure from Egypt. Moses led the people out of their bondage and led them all the way to the threshold of the promised land. When Moses died, Joshua succeeded him and led the people through 40 years of conquest and settlement in the promised land. During that remarkable career, Joshua won victory after victory. We've been reading through the book of Joshua in this year in our evening services, and we find there record of the conquests that he obtained. Some of them were truly miraculous in their fashion. So now we have come to the end of his life, and he was 110 years old. And he could say, as he did in the previous chapter, that not one thing had failed of all the good things which the Lord their God had spoken concerning them. None of the promises had failed to be fulfilled. So he was saying there was every reason for the people then to continue following the Lord even after Joshua's death. They had the promise that the Lord would continue to fight for them, even though Joshua would no longer be there. But Joshua took note of the great danger that the people faced in the previous chapter, chapter 23, and verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. As we read earlier in this service at the beginning of the following chapter, Joshua reviewed for them the catalog of the mighty acts that the Lord had done for them. And he exhorted them to continue on in their service for the Lord. But he raised the possibility that some of them could consider it a bad thing to follow the Lord. So he set before them in our text a crucial choice, or choices. The people could not live in a state of neutrality. Either they had to follow the Lord, or they had to follow the gods of the pagan peoples who were around them. Which would it be? Joshua was very much interested, you can be sure. Would the labors the Lord had enabled him to do in his life be cast aside in subsequent generations? I think every man of God has that concern. What will happen after he's gone? In many ways, he can't control what happens after he's gone, but he has these concerns. So the question the Lord presents to that generation and to every generation in the history of his people is that there is always a choice to be made, a choice that will shape your life and the life of your family, not only for a few years, but for as long as you shall live in this world. So for the people of Israel in Joshua's time, and for you tonight, the Word of God brings you to consider choices for now and then. Choices for now and then. Whenever the Word of God goes forth, the question for those who hear it concerns what they will do with it. Joshua was speaking to the people of God. I'd like to point that out. These were the children of the covenant. And yet he was saying to them that they had to choose right then whom they were going to serve. They were facing an urgent situation. Joshua already told them he was about to die, so that the long era represented by his 40 years of service and the 40 years of the life of Moses before him was coming to an end. And the question was, now that these two great leaders were going to be gone, how were the people of Israel going to continue in the land where they had come to live? So tonight the Lord presents you with the same choices. Choices that will determine into large measure what happens in your life. Whether a month from now, or 6 months from now, or a year from now, or 20 years from now, or for eternity. The choices are clear. Will you serve the gods of this world, or will you serve the God of heaven? So you can't be neutral about it. You can't be inactive. You have, Joshua said, you have to choose one or the other. And he made it very clear where he and his family stood. When he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whatever the rest of you do, we will serve the Lord. So his command comes to you this evening in our text with the same urgency. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And there are three great truths that arise from this simple command in our text. First, you will serve some God every day of your life. You will serve some God every day of your life. The people received the exhortation to love the Lord their God. They had every advantage. They heard the truth about God. They heard the truth about the works that God did in their behalf. But Joshua's words implied, certainly at least, that in spite of all these advantages, some of the people thought it would be bad to continue following the Lord. Just as clearly, he emphasized that if they did not follow the Lord, they would be serving some other god. Notice how he put it in that verse. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Will you serve the Lord or will you serve those other gods? So not to follow the Lord is not to put yourself into some gray area, some neutral area. It is to follow another god. There's no such thing, you see, as a genuine atheist. Somebody who professes he doesn't believe in God. What Joshua is saying is you either serve the Lord or you're going to serve the gods of this world. So which God is it for you? See, it doesn't have to be Baal or Ashtaroth or any of the other graven images from the ancient world. It can be the god of fashion. It can be the god of sport. It can be the god of popular entertainment. It's the mobile age with social networks all over the place. And some people have swallowed the devil's lie that entertainment is neutral, morally speaking. They apply it to music, to film, to various forms of video, gaming, and so on. Well, the devil wants you to believe that they're neutral, because the devil is the one who spawned the idea that Baal could send fire down from heaven. That wasn't true, of course. Elijah demonstrated that it wasn't true. But the people believed it anyway. They believed that he would send fire down from heaven. And they would tell you they had seen it on many occasions, where the priests of Baal had some hidden source of fire that they applied surreptitiously at just the right moment, and then they said, fire from Baal has fallen. And is why Elijah said at Mount Carmel, you don't put any fire underneath the sacrifice. Perhaps it's the god of materialism, pursuing riches, pursuing aggrandizement instead of the glory of God. Some, including some who have served in our denomination and studied in our seminary, have decided to follow the god of popular religion, compromising religion. They don't have patience with the separatism to which we adhere in the Free Presbyterian Church, so they have gone in other directions. And these are people who have heard what God's Word says in these matters. Well, let me tell you that there is pressure, and tremendous pressure, for young people especially to declare themselves against what they know to be true, against what they have been taught is true. Because the world wants to know which side you take. You have to serve some God every day. So every day the question of Joshua comes, whom are you going to serve? We find similar challenges arising in the Scriptures. If you turn back to Exodus and to the life of Moses, Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. We read in verse 25, and I think the context here is informative. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Here were the people worshiping a false god. And Moses had come down from the mountain where he had received the command, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Joshua was asking that question basically. Who is on the Lord's side? And we read in verse 27 that this standing on the Lord's side can be very painful. He said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. You take a stand on the Lord's side, it can be costly. It can be painful, but it is better, Moses was saying, to take that stand than to be on the other end of the sword. 1 Kings chapter 18. And verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So there was Elijah putting it in the same terms. If the Lord is God, then follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. You see, what happens today is there are a lot of people who say the Lord is God, but then they follow Baal. They follow the false god, which belies their profession. So the challenge that Joshua presented was about who you believe God to be. You will serve some god. Elijah said, you can't stand here and pretend that you're going to wait to see how things come out and then you'll decide. We remember those noble Hebrew friends of Daniel. Their Hebrew names, not often known, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They are known to us better by their Chaldean names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they refused Nebuchadnezzar's request to bow down to the image that he had set up. They wouldn't do it, even though it meant being cast into the burning fiery furnace. So they made their decision about who they were going to serve. So the message is, you're serving some god every day. Who are you serving? You will serve some god tomorrow in your activities. Who will you be serving? The challenge of Joshua confronts you every day. It would be a good thing to have that text before you every day. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And it's only as you answer that charge that you come to the second aspect of this challenge. The God you will serve is the God you will choose. The God you will serve is the God you will choose. Now, Joshua was very plain in his final exhortation. He said, some of you may say, it's an evil thing, it's a bad thing to follow the Lord anymore. Perhaps there were some anxious for Joshua and those whom Joshua had trained to be off the scene so they could serve other gods. Well, he wanted them to understand that they would be responsible for what they chose. Now, in the Bible, the concept of choosing is striking because in almost every instance where we encounter it, it's the Lord who is doing the choosing. But there are two cases, and this is one of them, in which the Lord commands people to choose what is eternal over what is temporal. That is, to choose the values of the then over the comforts and conveniences of the now. That's why I say choices for now and then. The other instance, significantly, is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to wit to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So there's the fundamental choice. Is it life or death? Do you choose the blessing of God or the cursing of God? Do you choose the love of God or the wrath of God? Now, it seems an easy choice when I put it in those terms. It seems it shouldn't be difficult. Do you want to go to heaven or to hell? It doesn't seem like a difficult question. But the command itself in our text suggests that there will be those who will choose death. Now, if you do not choose life, you've already chosen death. That's the whole point. Choose life, Moses said to the people. Choose life. If you do nothing, you have chosen death. The Lord Jesus made it very plain in the Gospel of Luke chapter 11. Let us turn there. The Gospel of Luke chapter 11. Verse 23. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. You choose to be with Christ, and if you do not, you are against him. So the message is, there's still time to choose. That was the message that Joshua was delivering to the people. There's still time for them to choose. And you have to choose. We read about Joseph. I'm not going to take the time to turn to it, but in Genesis chapter 39, you can read about Joseph, and in particular, the pressure that Potiphar's wife put upon him to do that which was evil. But Joseph said that he had chosen to serve the Lord, and he could not do that which was evil. In Hebrews 11, we read about Moses, that Moses, by faith, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So both Joseph and Moses knew the secret of the only way of true and lasting happiness in this world. And that's a choice, by the way, that not only affects you individually, but it affects those around you. It affects your family. It affects your church. It affects, if you are on a job, it affects your colleagues or your fellow students. Who are you going to follow? Who's going to be the God in your life? If you decline to choose the Lord, then you've made your choice. And it is one with everlasting consequences. And the third thing in the text suggests that there's great urgency. The choice you make must be made now. It's like being at the polls on election day. Now, the time is past for you to say, well, I need to sit down now and I need to go over all these materials that I've got here so I can determine what I'm supposed to do in all these issues that are on the ballot. No, the time for that is past. You have to make the choice then. So Joshua said to the people, choose you this day. Notice how that's emphasized. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. You're going to choose, Joshua was saying, whom you're going to serve. Today, tomorrow, the day after that. And there's a great urgency about this choice. And there's a lot of pressure. Because there are always voices saying, well, maybe you can put that choice off and have a good time instead. Remember what we just cited, the example of Moses. Rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. He chose the lonely and the difficult path. Why? Because he had faith in the Redeemer. He esteemed, the same passage in Hebrews tells us, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasure in Egypt. Because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew what the reward was going to be. So, the challenge comes to you. Choose you this day. What is your choice? You cannot go back to the weak and beggarly elements of the world like Demas did. He loved this present world. The Apostle Paul wrote about him, and so he left. He abandoned the apostle. He abandoned everything about the gospel. The message of Joshua is, you choose to serve the Lord, you burn the bridges behind you. Going forward, there's no way back. No retreat. You may this evening be still living with the choice of serving the gods of this world. You need to hear the command of Joshua. Choose this day whom ye will serve. Choose life. And you need to hear the testimony of Joshua. As for me, he was saying, you want to know what I'm going to do? You want to know what my family is going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. Whatever that means, whatever it costs us. You see, it's an awful thing to end up as the people of Israel did before too long of a time went by. Let us turn just a few pages, maybe two, to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. So far, so good. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Think it can't happen? Here is the historical record. The descendants of those who knew Joshua, who knew of the great works that God had done, they turned away. They turned away. And if you went on to read in Judges chapter 2, you would find out that there was a very real consequence, because in verse 14 you read, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Do you know that I think, and I'm convinced really of it, that something like that is happening around us in this country. In this very time, that God's judgment upon those, not just upon those who are wicked, who have sold themselves to do all sorts of wickedness, but his judgment on those who profess that they know the Lord, but they line themselves up with the gods of this world, whatever they are, God's judgment leaves our country in the hands of those who are wicked, vile, perverse. And until the people of God come back to say, no, we have to have done with all of that. We're going to kick all of that out. Instead, we're going to follow the way that Joshua followed. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. There's the challenge. Will you make a solemn covenant before the Lord tonight that you will serve Him? Whatever the people around you do, whatever your friends do, however persuasive they may appear to be, you choose to serve Him, whatever the cost. And then you will be able to hear that great word from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That was Joshua's greeting when he left this world. And that will be the greeting of all those who follow the Lord.